Up next, listen to the future of the Internet with WebTalk and hear the latest news and trends keeping those electronic circuits and broadband connections buzzing.
This week on the show, we look at MSN's new blog spaces, Mozilla's new hot release for their email program, PayPal numbers, and China blocking news. And Robin Miller, author of the new Point-and-Click Linux, your guide to hassle-free computing.
Stay connected. WebTalk is coming up next.
WebTalk is brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your PC from anywhere. GoToMyPC is fast, it's secure, helps you access your PC files and applications remotely from any PC or wireless device. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the radio microphone on the website, and enter promo code FREE to get a 45-day free trial. GoToMyPC.com.
You're connected to WebTalk at WebTalkRadio.com for the week of December 4th. We're coming into Christmas time.
We're well into it.
Well, holiday time is what we should call it. 2004, and my name is Rob Greenlee. Thank you for downloading and streaming our show and even podcasting us.
This is Jingle Bells over here. Jingle Bell. My name's Dana, and you are streaming or downloading WebTalk Radio.
There's a whole bunch of ways people are getting our show nowadays.
Yeah. Well, we're going to give you a lot of information in the next 40 minutes or so. Topics we're going to include.
The folks at Microsoft are opening a blog space, and they've released a new MSN Messenger.
And our friends over at Mozilla have released a preview upgrade of that new Thunderbird email application.
PayPal adds some new services like invoicing, and they were all the way up to 56 million accounts.
Oh, and my goodness, China is blocking Google News. Also later in the show, we'll speak with Robin Miller. That's Rob Limo to some of you. He's editor-in-chief at Open Source Technology Group, also known as OSTG. It's one of the world's leading online tech news publishers. They publish Slashdot.org, ITManagersJournal.com, and NewsForge.com, and Linux.com. Robin is a great guy. He's written a new book called Point and Click Linux, Your Guide to Hassle-Free Computing. And it really, really in a simple way explains how you can simply and cheaply create a powerful Linux desktop home PC.
Linux has advanced so much in the last 4 or 5 years that you really can now, unless you're a programmer, you're using it as a server operating system. For desktop stuff, it is point and click install, and you've got all your basic applications included, and your computer just works.
Rob, lots of stuff happening in the news this week. MSN has decided to get into the blogging business.
Yes, they have. They've decided in a big way to jump into the blogging space. I guess they saw a lot of success in this area for a lot of other companies, and they felt like they needed to keep up with this too. They've launched it called MSN Space.
And Spaces. Spaces?
Spaces. Actually, there's an S on there. It's at spaces.msn.com, and you can easily create and manage a weblog from your computer. It's all web-based.
And it's free.
Or you can manage it over your mobile phone or your smartphone.
Oh, that's nice.
So you can make posts to your weblog over your smartphone. Very cool. And you can probably upload pictures.
You can do that at LiveJournal, too.
Oh, you can. Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of what Microsoft's doing here isn't anything new.
Well, now, what are the features in this Spaces? One, they have an integrated photo album. Yeah, that happens over at LiveJournal, too. I know I'm comparing.
Well, and I mean, a lot of what they're doing here is kind of copycatting what's already out there to a certain extent. And then a lot of it, they're not supporting. Like, they're not supporting RSS enclosures. So there's not going to be any podcasters putting up podcasts on the MSN Spaces area quite yet. I think that they'll probably add that in the future, but they probably saw it as probably a significant bandwidth drain potentially on their network is one of the reasons. And podcasting hasn't been around very long, so that's probably another reason. But you can also create music lists within the MSN Spaces area as well, so you can even upload a playlist from your Windows Media Player to create your own custom playlist that pulls off of the MSN Music service.
And if you live in your MSN Messenger like I do, you can also post from your Messenger to your blog Isn't that interesting?
Very cool. Well, and Microsoft also upgraded their MSN Messenger as well. It's actually an MSN Messenger beta, and I think it's over 7 point something is the current version. And this version supports MSN radio integration into it too.
Really? I need to. So this is a new download. It's beta.
Correct. It's brand new, and it's at messenger.msn.com/beta. Is where it's located on the web, so you can
I'm
go get
for
it.
That. I'm going there next.
And what this Messenger is really starting to look like is a kind of a long term strategy for Microsoft for their smartphone, pocket PC, and mobile media device platform.
Do you have the new beta?
Yeah, I did download it onto my new XP box that I have.
Come look at yours.
Looks very, very cool, and they've added a lot of capabilities, and they're really doing a lot of integration. I think between like the blogs and being able to get to news and all sorts of things within this interface. And eventually, like your Pocket PC, you'll be able to get to the MSN Messenger there and get to, you know, make blog posts through your mobile device as well. So you can see all these things kind of coming together into one thing. But my personal thought on the MSN Messenger or the MSN Spaces product is that it's it was really kind of released a little too soon before it was kind of like done. So they've had a lot
They were giddy at Microsoft.
Well, I think they were really anxious to get it up and going, but they had a lot of downtime for the first couple of days that this thing was up this past week.
Maybe a lot of people were just using it.
That's exactly, I think, what happened is they got flooded with...
Everybody wanted to get that blog name.
Exactly.
Mozilla came on the scene once again. They have Thunderbird, which is their email application. It's like Microsoft Outlook, but for Mozilla.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just now released a really good preview version of that. So if you use Mozilla or if you've used Thunderbird or just looking for something else.
There is a version 1 out there that's available at the Mozilla.org website. So go check
free
it out
download.
If you want to. Yeah, everything's free there pretty much.
Let's talk PayPal because it is the holiday season and a lot of people use PayPal to pay from eBay or anything. And good grief, that's an amazing site. Some interesting new features came out. But I really found the statistics interesting.
Yeah, how large PayPal's really gotten. I mean, they've rolled out, and I think they've actually had this out in beta for a while, but PayPal invoicing. So you can make professional invoices
and
send them out. And
They look good.
And you can also customize your payment page, too. So you can add some colors and your logo and some cool features in that way. But just like what Dana was saying, one of the really interesting things that came out of this, doing a little research on PayPal, was that they have 56 million accounts right now, and they grow at a rate of 53,000 customers a day. That's how many new customers come on board PayPal.
Okay, I'm all about the money, so let me just get to the money
get
part.
Down to the green stuff.
Okay,
here.
Lots of money goes through PayPal, but let's just break it down to per hour. $2 million per hour, thank you very much, gets transacted through
$48
PayPal.
$48 million a day. That's $48 million a day, or $4.4 billion through PayPal every quarter.
How'd you manage to take my words right out of my mouth?
Well, I don't want to steal the punchline, I guess. No.
And you know what? When you think of it, I don't remember the percentage. They get like 3.2% of the transaction or something like that. They're not doing too badly.
No, that's right. I mean, I know we're throwing out a bunch of facts and figures to everybody, but I guess the bottom line to this is that PayPal's going to be a significant financial power if you look out in the future. There's no question.
And yet there are pals. Pals.
Well, they are. They're very pally.
Speaking of pals or not, I don't know. China is, you know, they're opening up, but they still like to control the news.
There's a lot of companies in this country in the Western world that would love to get access to 1.3 billion people.
And Google's one of them.
Yes,
I mean, good
they
grief.
Are.
Think of all the ad banners that'll be
well,
clicked
and
upon.
Well, like last week we talked about Opera getting a deal with that Red Label Linux application to get to 1.3 billion people. And Google is catering to the Chinese government, and they're basically stripping out a lot of the politically sensitive information that was within the Google News or the news.google.com
site. In the China version, the Chinese language
exactly,
version.
Exactly, the Chinese language version.
And so, of course, consequently, a lot of Chinese just turned to the English version to get the full scoop.
But China's blocking that, too.
Let's give scoop where it's due. Reporters Without Borders is the group that found this information out. And I guess for 10 days now, people in China can't access news.google.com in the English language version.
Exactly.
Thanks to The government.
Yes, it is. And also, there's a lot of people offering their criticism on Google for this, too, because they say that they're catering to the influence of Beijing.
And you know what? I actually don't have any problem with it. I'm not a traitor to the country, but, you know, I'll just say that they're a private company. China's kind of like their customer. You know, I want to give my client the parameters of the application that they want.
Well, they want to reach 1.3 billion users is what it really boils down to. It's cha-ching, you know?
Okay, Rob, I'm just going to let you take over this next bit because it's all about podcasting. And I'm telling you, 40, 50 times a day, he lets that word fly from his mouth. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to cover two sites really quickly. PodcastAlley.com is really my favorite site, and I've heard a little rumor through a little bug on the wall that they have a new design coming. So they're going to be offering a little bit better looking content off of their website. So it should be really good to keep an eye on. Yes, it is. That's the important thing. And it's still my favorite, so go check it out. The other site that you should go check out, too, is podcastbunker.com. And that's a very good site, too. They offer 30-second samples of each of the podcasts. So you can check out, you can listen to it without actually committing to it.
And are we on these?
Downloading. Yes, we are. Okay. We're actually reviewed at Podcast Bunker as a 5-star podcast.
5 out of what, 20? I don't know. What? Is it good?
5 out of 5.
Okay. That's all right.
I guess we can't complain.
Love you guys at Podcast Bunker.
That's right. But their directory isn't very large, but that actually is a good thing for us because that gives people less selection, so they're more likely to find us, you know.
Yeah. You know, we're all about the dominating
That's
the
right.
Page.
We want to dominate everything. Yes, yes. Wow. We're just like Google. We want to dominate the world. So
we'll just keep our private life out of that.
Web Talk Radio is brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. It's a great way to get connected and have access to your home PC or files from work or your laptop on the road. Go to GoToMyPC.com and check out their 45-day free trial. And just type in the promo code FREE and you can check it out. It's really the best remote access software available out there.
Let's be clear. It's www.GoToMyPC.com. The thing is, we always say go to. It's www.gotomypc.com.
Yes, and enter the promo code FREE, and you get that 45 free trial.
Thanks again to our friends over at InfoCreek.com. They're a website design service. They helped us design our page. We're thrilled with them. And we want to recommend you guys to go check them out, too.
That's right. Up next, you definitely want to stay with us because we're going to be speaking with Robin Miller, who's the Editor-in-Chief for Open Source Technology Group, or OSTG, and they publish sites like Slashdot.com or Slashdot.org. And we're going to talk about his new book called Point and Click Linux, Your Guide to Hassle-Free Computing. And he's going to simply explain how to create a powerful Linux desktop home PC. This is Web Talk Radio.
Last night, I had a dream that we went to Disneyland. Went on all the rides, didn't have to wait in line.
You want to access your PC remotely, but solutions like PC Anywhere are so limiting and difficult to use. The solution? Go to MyPC, the easiest way to access your PC from anywhere all over the internet. Setup takes just minutes, and no additional software is required. All you need is internet access. For a limited time, try it free for up to 45 days. For this special offer, visit www.gotomypc.com, click the radio microphone, and enter promo code FREE. Access your PC from anywhere with GoToMyPC. Try it free today.
Dude, check it out. Listen to Web Talk. Totally for sure. Your old man's not here.
You're back with Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and I'm Rob Greenlee, and Dana Greenlee's in here with me as well.
Open source Linux has kind of got Microsoft a little worried looking at its rearview mirror. Linux really has only gained significant use up till now as web servers. The Linux vision's always been that it could one day compete head-to-head with Windows OS in the home or even business desktop area and give Microsoft some competition that could benefit all of us, really. While the current Linux user interface and compatibility is much improved, it's about to go prime time.
Joining us is Robin Miller, who's editor-in-chief for Open Source Technology Group at OSTG, and it's one of the leading online tech news publishers of sites like Slashdot.org, ITManagersJournal.com, NewsForge.com, and Linux.com. And Robin has written a new book called Point and Click Linux, Your Guide to Hassle-Free Computing, just out by Prentice Hall, that explains how to simply and cheaply create a powerful Linux desktop PC. Robin, thanks for joining us on the show.
Oh, you guys are so nice. So, such good hosts.
Before we talk about your new book, why don't you tell us a little bit more about what you do every day at the Open Source Technology Group as its editor, and what did you do prior to that?
Well, as the editor-in-chief for this group, I'm supposed to produce editorial supervision over Slashdot, NewsForge, IT Managers Journal, and Linux.com primarily.
Just a few small sites.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, just little sites. And in theory, I'm supposed to be these guys' boss, but in practice, they're unbossable.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's an open source environment. Everybody does their own thing, right?
Yeah, so what I do is I get the DMCA complaints.
Yeah.
And I handle administrative details and purchase orders. Oh, my hair is in points. And I also write. You know, my first love is writing. I keep asking them to demote me and give somebody else the prestige, big title, and big money salary.
So you can actually write again, right? Or do you still write some?
Oh, yeah, I still write somewhat.
Okay.
Maybe a couple articles a week.
Yeah.
A book or two now and then. More books.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing videos. I'm really getting into video production.
Oh, in what way? Tell me.
Computer instructional stuff.
Oh, okay. Well,
I kind of developed by accident a method of doing finished instructional videos with screen capture.
Oh, okay. Well, your new book has a CD that has some videos on it, doesn't it?
Well, I actually started with the videos, and the book was sort of an afterthought.
Oh,
okay.
Well, now, is it innovative, these videos? I mean, screen captures have been around, you know, and you're instructional. Or are you doing something, or is it just new to you, and that's why you're so excited?
Yeah, because I have human face, although it's my ugly face, in them. So they're not just, you know, a guy.
Point and click.
It's not just a mouse pointer clicking around the screen. I mean, there's some personality to it.
Well, yes. That's good. Well, you definitely have a lot of personality.
So they say. But what else have I done? I don't know, I'm a pretty good cab driver.
Oh, yeah, okay.
In fact, I used to write about the cab business a lot, and passengers. This is the Baltimore Sun.
Well, so you, the confessions from the cab, right?
Well, that started actually in Baltimore, Maryland, in Royal Cab number 1112.
Oh.
With a super video, you know, super VHS camera that was not hidden. It was weighed about 25 pounds. big Panasonic camera. I have a much better, smaller Hi8 and digital now.
Sure.
Disclosure wasn't an issue then. They all saw it. The footage.
Well,
you must
have... you have this huge lens, you know. that's where we started doing that, actually, on a local public access show.
Really? Mm-hmm. I was joking, though. That's
I'm
amazing.
Not joking is the difference.
Yeah.
And that was an extension of a story that ran in Baltimore City Paper, which is like, what is Seattle, a reader? Called Drive, They Said.
Mm-hmm.
And then another story I wrote sometime later, all in between many, many other features for a city paper and for The Sun and a few for The Washington Post and for a whole bunch of magazines, one called The Wrong Jamaican that is not on the web.
Oh.
And if you can find that, God bless you. And it's a great story.
It doesn't sound very politically correct, however.
It's absolutely, you know, because the guy told me after I had him arrested for not paying his fare that I had been messing with him and I was wrong because he was the wrong Jamaican to screw over.
And this is when you moved to Florida, right? Right after that.
Yeah.
Well, no, I moved to Florida some years later because more or less in there I became by accident the computer guy for a morning TV show in Baltimore.
Really? Interesting story.
And hi, Don. Hi, Marty. Here's the latest from Palm, you know.
This sounds good.
Hey, Robin, Windows 98 is came out tonight. Were you camping down at CompUSA? Wait for it. I said, no, Marty, I run Linux, and I don't care about Windows.
the gadget guy on TV, huh? Is that what
yeah.
it was? Yeah.
And then the problem with being the gadget guy on TV is, picture this. You and your wife are going down to the restaurant, and what you want to do is order a meal and eat it. And the waiter wants to sit down and ask you to solve all his Windows computer problems.
Oh, okay.
Tech support.
Well, believe me, I get that all the time myself, actually. I get people thinking that I'm a computer technology whiz for them to solve all their problems. I know, but it's a little different situation.
They saw me in their coffee with Don and Marty and Robin Miller Monday morning. So I've been in their kitchen.
Yeah.
And I'm their buddy.
Yes, you are.
But no, Debbie and I really want to eat. So here we are in Florida where, yes, we have to endure 80-degree weather right now in the middle of winter. And
I'm crying.
I am obliged to go sailing on the sparkling blue Gulf of Mexico.
Sounds rough. I don't know if I can handle that.
And endure the hurricanes, okay? So it's not all good.
Well, to quote our governor, shrug. There's a price we pay to live in paradise.
Yeah, it is. So yeah. Did you guys see any damage from the hurricanes that blew through there?
Not to mention, no.
Oh, that's good.
We live in Bradenton, a town you cannot find, where it says it's the headquarters of Tropicana Orange Juice and where Chriscraft boats come from. It's really kind of an old-fashioned agricultural manufacturing place in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we call Flipper Florida. See, and then we're on the West Coast, and on the East Coast, you have like Rush Limbaugh and O.J. Simpson, Florida, with the condos and the people from New York who make a lot of noise and drive bad.
So you kind of stay away from that part, right?
I have my little sailboat. Because I use Linux, I don't have all those Windows problems, so I have time to go sailing.
That's true.
That's good.
Hang out on the beach.
And weblogging. Why don't you tell us about your weblog?
It's Rob Limo, by the way. It's because I used to own a limousine company up in Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're kidding me.
But that's been...
Yeah, it's just short for Robin's Limousine, back from the old, you know, 8-character maximum screen name days.
Oh, okay. But you've got a weblog up there. I got it on my screen here. I'm looking at it.
Well, it's just, you know, blathering. It's not a weblog because it's original material.
What are you saying, that most of the material in a weblog isn't original?
Oh, come on. Most weblogs are a couple of lines and a pointer to something somebody else wrote somewhere else.
That is true.
I work on and help grow Slashdot, I don't have to pretend to be or be a wannabe Slashdot.
Yeah. That's
Got
true.
It.
That's true. You already have the biggest weblog in the world, I think.
Yeah, but it wasn't a weblog back then.
No.
Yeah.
Would you say that it fits in that genre today?
Yeah, but I think the weblog fad is going to go away.
You do? What's going to follow from it, you think?
I have no idea. The thing is, I think, you know, most of the people who start weblogs don't maintain them for very long.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It's like diaries.
Yeah.
And most people don't really keep them up for long. If there were as many diaries in this country as there were those little diary things they sold in all those Hallmark stores... We would be stacked under the whole country. Everywhere you drove, there would be stacks of diaries, but there aren't. And if that worked, you know, we'd all be rich from Amway, too.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I mean, it's a lot like personal web pages. I think it has the same kind of corollary cycle to it, and personal web pages have kind of gone away, too.
Well, but, you know, so what I have is a personal web page where I put up political rantings that I do not feel belong in my professional sites.
Oh, okay.
And that is where?
RobLimo.com.
Oh, okay, that's the one.
That's the blog.
But see, I am a professional writer. I got credentials. I am a member of the Society of Professional Journalists. See, so you knew I know what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah. Well, that's why we're talking to you.
I'm the old media.
The
old media. I don't think about... I don't think that's true.
52 years old, for that matter.
Oh, okay.
See? Yeah. So I'm like the trained journalist behind all this stuff. You knew... behind Slashdot and Fresh Meat and all that, you knew they had somebody back there to say, well, let's not run this. It might get us sued. Or, more often than not, let's change these words so that when we do run it, if they do sue us, we'll win.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them on.
Yeah, that's right.
We're in the middle of a conversation with Robin Miller. He's editor-in-chief of Open Source Technology Group. More importantly, he's the author of Point and Click Linux, Your Guide to Hassle-Free Computing. More with Robin in a moment. You're listening to
Web Talk Radio.
You want to access your PC remotely, but solutions like PC Anywhere are so limiting and difficult to use. The solution? Go to My PC, the easiest way to access your PC from anywhere all over the internet. Setup takes just minutes and no additional software is required. All you need is internet access. For a limited time, try it free for up to 45 days. For this special offer, visit www.gotomypc.com, click the radio microphone and enter promo code FREE. Access your PC from anywhere with GoToMyPC. Try it free today.
Welcome back to Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com. And my name is Rob Greenlee, and Danny Greenlee's in here too. We're speaking with Robin Miller, who's the editor-in-chief of Open Source Technology Group, the OSTG, and author of a new book called Point and Click Linux, Your Guide to Hassle-Free Computing. Why has Slashdot been such a success for you guys? What's kind of the hidden secret behind that?
Bad spelling.
Bad spelling, okay. Well, I can see that. Yeah.
I know people think it's a joke.
Well, it's original, right? It's not, you know, highly edited, right? Is that kind of what you're saying?
That is what IR saying. When it started out,
IR.
And I was brought in, you know, when I got bought by Andover, which is now OSTG, to be the professional guy. And I was already posting on Slashdot anyway when it was a volunteer operation.
Mm-hmm.
So it was no stretch. I was supposed to professionalize it. But I realized very quickly that the fact that Rob Malda and Jeff Bates, who started it, had, as Rob put it, a casual approach to the English language, made it more comfortable for programmers and other people who did not necessarily write clear English to join in the conversation. So it was non-intimidating.
Yeah.
I mean, back then, if you wanted to post on the New York Times forums...
You agonized.
Oh, you had to be on the Well forums.
Mm-hmm.
You were expected to express yourself clearly and use those semicolons correctly.
Oh, sure.
Slashdot, no one cared.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth of the secret. It's just a casual approach, and everybody welcome.
Do you see that?
It's hitting quickly toward 1 million registered users.
Wow.
And that's only 10% of the people who read it regularly.
Wow.
Do you see that whole situation changing and it becoming more of a professional thing where people kind of go back to the old paradigm here? Or do you see that staying an important part as we move into the future of it being kind of like a free flow of consciousness kind of a concept?
Rob and Jeff are now 26, married, and their grammar and spelling has improved.
Oh, it has. Okay. So they've been working on it,
right? They graduated by now, right?
Oh, yeah. They graduated, you know, 4 years ago. But, I mean, they are by no means perfect, and it is by no means a Slashdot priority. And we get slammed about grammar all the time.
Oh, you do? Okay. Interesting.
And we don't care.
They don't get the joke. Or the reasoning, I suppose.
You know, that's, you just got the whole point.
Hey.
Slashdot is an in-group joke.
Yeah.
We take it less seriously than everybody else.
This is like The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. I mean, same thing, right?
We love The Daily Show.
I know, we all do. It's terrific.
But we, you know, and I really want to see Rob Malda on The Daily Show.
Ah, we could get you on there.
No.
You have a book? Come on.
Yeah. But Rob Malda is the guy who should be there in the studio with Jon Stewart, not me. I'm just a background old guy, you know, who writes things.
We should put together a campaign to get Jon Stewart as the new anchor of CBS News. I think that'd be a cool thing to do.
You know, I'll bet almost everybody except the guys who do CNN's Crossfire would go for that.
We've alluded to your book a number of times.
That's right, we have.
Let's jump into it. We want to hear.
The publisher will shoot us all.
Point and click Linux, because to me, you know, Linux, I'm still a little bit of a Microsoft girl, sorry. But to me, Linux denotes difficulty. So point and click Linux. This is for like helping me on my home computer. Tell us all about it.
Not on your home computer. You're a geek person. You use Windows, which is complicated.
This is
for people who just want their darn computers to work.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I like, too. I mean, Windows has been a little bit of a struggle here in the last couple of years, I would say.
I don't even think about my computer. You know, I'll bet you Steve Ballmer spends more time thinking about Linux than I do.
It could very well be, yeah.
Because he worries about it, and I just use it.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting concept. I like that.
Well, my computer, I used Windows for a couple of years in the mid-90s, and once in a while, I spend like 3 or 4 days using it, and I shudder. It's very complicated. It's very hard. It's not user-friendly. You always have those virusware and spy worms and Trojans and things that mess it up, and you got to have those, what are the smoke walls or firewalls?
Smoke walls, yeah.
And people hack it, and then you want to go add your favorite program to the bottom panel so you can just click to open it, and you can't.
No conflicts. Audio doesn't
do anything.
Yeah.
So and then. You know, I tried that, the thing that's like a web browser, like an old antique-y web browser, Explorer? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Horrible.
When was the last time that was updated? I'm not quite sure.
Years ago.
Oh,
it was like 3 or 4 years ago?
How do people live? Like the pop-ups. I tried Windows again about 3 months ago. This is the XP.
That thing called some letters. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, and... This is like the professional version. And then there's little cartoon things in the corner pop up and tell me what to do.
I feel strangely compelled to defend Bill here. I don't know. But anyway, let's talk about Linux.
Well, it's just that I'm not used to that. My computer is my friend, you know?
Yeah.
Trouble-free computing.
Okay, well, hassle-free computing, that's the subtitle of your book.
Well, actually, it got changed to trouble-free.
Trouble-free,
computing. Whatever.
Trouble-free or hassle? Really?
Well, tell me...
Well, I guess it is trouble-free, I guess, to a certain extent.
I would know. I wrote it.
Why don't you run down the topics, the contents, and just kind of give us an idea of what comprises the book.
Well, it's not... The book is one-third of it. It's not really a book. It's a complete Linux migration kit. You've got your CD that contains the Memphis version of Linux and all kinds of application software. You've got... the equivalent of maybe $2,000 worth of Windows software on there.
No kidding.
One. Really?
Yeah, you got Full Office, Open Office. You've got Scribus for desktop publishing. You've got an instant messenger client that will work with all the big IM systems, not just one. So you can just run one thing
just
and have
one.
Wow, that's cool.
You do, of course, have Mozilla Browser, tabbed browsing, pop-up blocker, automatic. Mozilla email, you know, totally virus-proof. You have all this stuff sitting there.
And then, what's the retail price of your book, and you get all that for free?
Yeah, $30.
Wow.
But wait, that's not all.
The clapper?
You're going to throw in all sorts of stuff, yeah. Well, now, where's the PC? I mean, what PC can you use with this?
Like the one in front of you?
Oh, really? I mean, you can load it in there as well as run Windows, too?
Yeah, you can if you really need to keep Windows. You have a favorite game that's not yet ported to Linux.
Okay.
So you just throw that disk in the drive, right? And
to change your BIOS settings just as if you were reinstalling Windows from the CD.
Mm-hmm.
Same changes. And it'll actually run directly from the CD, so you don't have to install it at all.
Oh.
You run it. You can just, you know, put coaster in cup holder, start computer, and you have, voila, instant Linux.
Instant Linux.
Well, now, this tone of your book, is it just a glorified technical manual to how to, you know, install? Or is it you know, witty, tongue-in-cheek like yourself? Or, you know, how do you kind of, what do you do when you write the book?
I took a lot of screenshots. It's more pictures than words. It's visual.
Okay.
You know, this is about pointing and clicking.
That's true. I've got the book right in front of me, and there's all sorts of pictures in it, Dana.
It's just full.
I see.
And then there's the video. Okay. See, that's the real thing.
The videos, started the whole thing. I love your penguin.
Oh,
it was
like
13 videos in there, right? And it shows you actually putting the CD in the drive tray, right?
Yes, it does. It actually shows, in case you don't know how.
The coffee mug holder, you know.
But it shows you how to do things like, you know, the six commands. Are you ready to learn the six basic Linux commands?
Lay them on us.
Okay.
These are hard. Take notes, people. Point. Click. Got that?
Got that.
Drag and drop.
Oh.
Cut and paste. That's it.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. That was too difficult. Hey, I did notice that that your package has the most important game of all on that disc, and it's Solitaire, right?
I think Frozen Bubble is, but we'll just have to agree to disagree.
Frozen Bubble, yeah. Okay, I see
that. I spent many hours, sir, researching that game.
Oh, yes.
Many hours. In fact, there is a disclaimer in the chapter, in the book, the games chapter, that mentions it, that the management is not responsible for work time lost while you test this game.
You know, I can practically hear your wife's teeth grinding right now.
Well, she married me with her eyes open. But, yeah, the whole point is Linux has advanced so much in the last 4 or 5 years that you really can now, unless you're a programmer, or you're using it as a server operating system.
Mm-hmm.
For desktop stuff, it is point and click install. Then you've got it there, and you've got all your basic applications included, and your computer just works.
And Star Office actually will support some of the Windows, like Word and those kind of files as well, what I understand now.
Well, this is OpenOffice, which is even more advanced than Star Office.
Oh, okay. Well,
and yes, it will. You can exchange, and I do exchange, Microsoft Word. And what's the thing that's kind of like a spreadsheet? Excel.
You love that, don't you? You just grind it into the Microsoft people listening, don't you?
Well, they've gotten a lot of money from a lot of people. I started with this Linux stuff back in 1997 when I realized what was going on. And I looked at my wallet, and I was writing freelance and, you know, driving my little limousine around. And I looked at my wallet, and I said, who needs the money in this wallet more, Bill Gates or me? And, you know, I decided in the spirit of selfishness that I needed it more than he did.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure there's a few other people. Yeah, I'm sure there's a few other people that would agree with you on that.
I think the actual moment I was looking at that, I had that Windows thing in my computer at the time, and I was in Washington, D.C., writing a very important story on a very tight deadline, and the thing crashed. I said, oh, man, there's got to be a better way than this. And I started hunting around, and I lit on Linux, and I have not looked back.
Are you saying that it's crash-proof?
I'm saying that it's really, really, really hard to crash.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
You can do it, but you have to work at it.
It's not as easy.
I have about 120 programs open right now on a little, you know, $999 on sale Toshiba laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't even know how many browser windows I have open in Mozilla, probably about 50.
You can actually close those, you know.
Yeah, but why should I?
You know, Linux should be a mandate for starving, you know, college students, because they want to have a million things open. They're writing term papers. They don't want to have crash. They can't afford, you know, all the Excels and the offices and such. This really is a book for the college student this Christmas.
Oh, yeah. And for the non-geek ones, because the geek ones already run Linux.
Yeah, well, that's true.
That's true.
You know, this is like a shortcut. Plus, the MEPA CD in there. Yeah, there's a MEPA subscription service you can sign up for. There's like $30 a year or some such. I don't even remember. It's not much. And that'll give you access to another couple thousand programs, you know, no extra charge.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And but installing them is real hard. You have to put in a password and then click.
One of those things I'm going to jot a note on.
Password.
We're in the middle of a conversation with Robin Miller. He's editor-in-chief of Open Source Technology Group. More importantly, he's the author of Point and Click Linux, Your Guide to Hassle-Free Computing. More with Robin in a moment. You're listening to
Web Talk Radio.
My favorite shows on TV have 12 minutes of advertising. I can't get behind that kind of time.
Eat quickly, drive faster, make more money now. I can't get behind that.
My kids say, he said to me, and I'm like, and he's like, and she's like,
it's all, he's all, she's all.
I can't get behind that kind of, like, English.
You want to access your PC remotely, but solutions like PC Anywhere are so limiting and difficult to use. The solution? Go to My PC, the easiest way to access your PC from anywhere all over the internet. Setup takes just minutes and no additional software is required. All you need is internet access. For a limited time, try it free for up to 45 days. For this special offer, visit www.gotomypc.com, click the radio microphone and enter promo code FREE. Access your PC from anywhere with GoToMyPC. Try it free today.
Welcome back to Web Talk Radio at WebTalkRadio.com. And my name is Rob Greenlee, and Danny Greenlee is in here too. We're speaking with Robin Miller, who's the editor-in-chief of Open Source Technology Group, the OSTG, and author of a new book called Point and Click Linux, Your Guide to Hassle-Free Computing. Look out on the future a little bit for us and give us some glimpse of how long you think it's going to take for Linux to start capturing some market share from Microsoft on the desktop.
I'll say it'll probably start capturing market share in about 2001, maybe 2002.
Okay.
Hello. It's already happening.
No, but in a significant market share thing, are we seeing the very beginnings of it? Does your book really kind of symbolize its coming of age in some ways?
No, it just symbolizes a major publisher coming out with an ultra-simple book.
Uh-huh.
Already in some parts of the world, Linux is on 20 and 30% of the computers being sold.
Oh, okay.
The United States is just behind.
Oh, okay. Well, there's been a lot of discussion around the world about countries supporting Linux as the dedicated operating system, not even allowing Windows into those countries.
There's several reasons for that. First of all, is formats and who owns the data.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really important thing. Let's say you had an honest government, and that government was keeping documents that belonged to its people.
Mm-hmm.
Why should that government lock documents and important files up in a proprietary format that can only be read with one software vendor's stuff?
Yeah.
Why should they do that?
Oh, yeah. That is true.
And then what if that proprietary format was controlled by a company? Let's call it Microsoft.
Okay.
And that company had gone to court in its home country, which we'll call the United States of America, to disguise its true identity. And during the course of that trial, there was a deposition given by the CEO of that company, we're calling Microsoft, in which he said if the decision of the court was not favorable, he and his company would stop updating and selling that operating system and that software. He said, if you didn't do what I want, I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Yeah.
Now, in the wake of that deposition, which did not get much play in the general interest news channels, you didn't see it on CBS.
No.
Because nobody faxed it from Texas.
That's true.
But what you did see is that shot a big wave through Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And the big banks and brokerage houses said, wait a minute, you mean that this company is run by people with egos like that? And they started converting to Linux like mad. All those big back ends,
mm-hmm.
the big finance houses, are moving to or are already on Linux.
Wow. No idea.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His words really backfired on him.
His word, when you make that threat, people say, wait a minute. So if this ball guy does not like a court decision, it's all over. I don't want to have my company's data depend on this man.
Yeah. So it's safe to say that Microsoft has some competition on the desktop that's coming on pretty fast here. And that's
absolutely not. There is no competition. Linux does not have the spyware, the adware, the viruses, and the problems of Windows. And the people who like those will stay with Windows forever.
Sure.
Yeah, like nobody really likes them.
They must like them. That's why they stay with Windows.
So the hackers, the malicious people out there, they also have a soft place in their heart then for Linux users, and they're going to leave it alone?
Well, it's not only that. It's really, 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 really hard to write viruses for Linux that actually work.
Uh-huh.
You will now and then you'll see a thing from a Microsoft press person or from one of the virus company guys saying, oh, there's 148 viruses for Linux or whatever number they cook up. And you say, how many of those are actually spreading? Well, there was one that spread through three machines in Houston once. You say, yeah.
All right.
Because the way Linux, remember, it's technically GNU Linux with a Linux kernel think, in new utilities, and then a whole layer of programs on top of that that churn the ones and zeros inside the computer into the cute pictures upon we point and click.
Mm-hmm.
That happens in Windows, too. But in Windows, it's all one big box, whereas in Linux, it's separated into layers.
Uh-huh.
And my computer, if a cat walks across my keyboard, why, it can't mess anything up, because I have to log in separately as the root user to make any changes in the system.
Oh.
See, so the virus writer doesn't know my root password.
Wow. And I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll tell you what my root password is, just to show you. Because you can watch. Just pretend we're doing it over my... I'll type it in right now.
Okay.
See that? It's star, 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 star.
Well, that's going to be real helpful to all of our listeners, I'm sure, to hack into your system.
Yeah, well, it's real hard to hack into my system. It's a very hard system because I have not only Linux on my computer, but it has a firewall on it. And in front of that is America's cheapest Linux computer, which is in many homes that they don't know about it. Quick, what is America's cheapest Linux computer? It costs about $80.
Hmm.
Fill in the blank for us, Robin.
Oh, I will tell you. It's a Linksys WRT54G wireless switch and router. You know the little blue one?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah, a little purplish blue.
Mm-hmm.
$80.
That runs Linux.
Oh, wow.
Got a TiVo?
Yeah.
Well, there's a Linux computer.
Oh,
ah, there
see.
You go. Yeah.
And is it hard to use?
No.
No, see, no geekiness required. Point and click, right?
Right.
Yeah, simple is good.
Which is easier to use, your TiVo or your Windows computer?
TiVo.
Well, yes, but you also can't do email.
But you could, really, if you really wanted to.
Well, it is. I mean, it is basically a little computer. There's no question about it. You could do
something. Yeah, because here's the other secret of Linux and of open source that is... The secret is, remember, the idea of open source, anybody can see the source code, and anybody can modify it and share those modifications, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So, what if I had this little Linksys router, and what if somebody else wrote a modification to the operating system for it that would triple its range and sensitivity?
Well,
that would be excellent.
That would be cool.
And I went point, point, click, click, and installed it on mine.
Mm-hmm.
I would have, like, super wireless.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is the thing. For basic people like me, I'm a writer, remember, not a computer whiz.
Mm-hmm.
I just point and click. And, yeah, okay, I change the picture on my desktop, and I move stuff around. You know, I customize it. A beautiful picture of a sunset on Sarasota Bay from the deck of my sailboat is my wallpaper. Beautiful picture. And stuff like that, yeah, anybody can do that. I can skin and theme every program that I have. Click, click, click. But if I wanted to tweak for performance, I could hot rod this sucker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's something for everybody.
There's a lot of flexibility with it. Well, Robin, why don't you tell us how a person can get this terrific book that has all this cool tools in it?
Well, it's at... Booksellers everywhere.
Booksellers everywhere, okay.
PageRank.
Yeah, like I said, Linux is making it. This is just the first book that a really big publisher, in this case Penisol, has gotten everywhere. So you can go to your Barnes & Noble, your Borders. Barnes & Noble is featuring this as a December hot title, actually.
Oh, excellent. That's cool. That's cool.
First Linux book ever.
Wow.
And, so you can do that. Amazon has it, you know, at their usual discount prices. You're in Seattle.
Yeah.
Did they charge sales tax there?
Yes.
Of course.
Well, whatever. So order it from bsbn.com. Whatever. I don't care. You can go to pointandclicklinux.com. That's my site.
Oh, okay.
Good.
I don't get any commission. It just points to the publisher's site.
Oh.
And the publisher's site, it's just an easy way to find the publisher's, 9,000-character-long address. And there's also some of the videos that are there for free download to look at.
Oh, terrific.
Oh, very
and
good.
We're going to soon have all of the videos available for free download plus more.
Oh, terrific. Well, and you can also get to it by going to roblimo.com, too.
That is true.
I saw that. I see the cover of it on the right-hand side of the website.
That is correct. You can go there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, so it's not really hard. If you just put it in Google and just put point-and-click Linux, it'll you'll find it.
Sure.
Well, I hope you have a good time sailing this afternoon.
Yeah, Robin, thanks for...
Well, I can't go sailing today. I have actual work to do making more videos, but, you know...
That sounds like fun for you, though.
Linux, and I don't have to deal with all those window problems, I do have a lot more time to go sailing, or like the penguin on the book.
Yeah.
I do. That was actually a photograph originally of me in a hammock between two palm trees with a drink, and that is a shirt I own.
Oh,
really?
I can see a resemblance, yeah.
And I am just as fat as the penguin.
Yeah, I know.
So what exactly is in your drink there?
Rum.
Rum?
Pineapple juice.
Uh-huh.
And orange juice.
Okay.
It's a Florida drink, man.
All right.
Thanks, Robin.
Robin,
appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us.
Come on down and hang out with us. We got a guest room.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
That was Robin Miller talking about all things Linux and about his book Point and Click Linux, Your Guide to Hassle-Free Computing. You can find out more about that book at pointandclicklinux.com. You can also find out a lot about Robin Miller over at roblimo.com. That's his, as he puts it, his unadorned personal website, and you'll enjoy that very much. That's all the time we have this week for the show. We appreciate you guys joining us. Be sure and tune in next week. More talk about the web. And go to our website at webtalkradio.com and comment on some of the blog postings that Rob has done. He'd appreciate that.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.